Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 4 today on Through the Word. Leviticus chapter 4 talks about the sin offering. The offerings we've talked about up to this point have been what's called free will offerings. You offered them because you wanted to. The sin offering is the first of the required offerings. You offered them because you had to. Verse 13 says, if the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do any of the things by the Lord commands that ought not to be done, and they realize their guilt, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, the assembly shall offer a bull from the herd for a sin offering. The sin offering was offered for the sin that you committed on accident. Whoops! But if you committed a sin on accident, shouldn't that get a hall pass? I'm not even going to tell you how many times I've been in traffic school or gotten a ticket. If you've ever been pulled over, you'll know that ignorance does not get you off the hook. Simply saying, sorry officer, I didn't know that there was no right turn on red at this intersection, doesn't change things. Chances are, you're still going to get a ticket. You broke the law, and ignorance is not an excuse. You were guilty, accidental or not. Verses 2, 13, 22, and 27 repeat the fact that this was unintentional. Have a look at verse 2. If anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and then in verse 13, skipping down, the very end of the verse says, and when they realize their guilt. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And in that statement, Jesus is telling us that even when we're unaware that we're sinning, it's still sin. Sin that needs to be atoned for. You could probably relate to the following prayer. Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm pretty glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of this bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need your help. Sin seems to come as naturally to us as breathing. Have you ever tried to stop sinning? It's impossible. Ben Franklin, one of our founding fathers, tried for a few days to behave himself. He kept a journal, and in it he recorded all of his mishaps. He didn't last too long. In his journal, he records, I was surprised to find myself so much fuller of faults than I had imagined. He gave up pretty soon. Sin is one of those things that we're pretty good at without even trying. You see, as much as each of these offerings tells us something about the sacrifice of Jesus, it also points out something about sin. You see, being sinless just isn't possible on this side of heaven. We aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's good to know that there's a sacrifice that takes care of the sin inside of us. The chapter is divided into four different categories of people who will need to make this sacrifice. Number one, the priest. That's found in verses 3 through 12. Then the whole population may be guilty of a sin, and they need to offer in verses 13 through 21. Then the elders or the leaders, verses 22 through 26. And lastly, the individual or the common people. Filthy commoners, they call them in England. Ordinary Joes in America. And that's found in verse 27 through 35. At the end of each of these sections, we get a precious promise. An atonement shall be made, it says, and they shall be forgiven. It's like an old film where an asteroid is hurtling towards the earth and disaster is averted because it's been intercepted by heroic deeds of Earth saviors, be it Superman or a team of astronauts on a rocket ship. Either way, the impact is diverted away from its intended target, you. As you read those four sections, what may surprise you is the priest and the entire nation have to offer the same sacrifice. They each had to offer a bull. This shows us that leadership carries an enormous responsibility. Like Uncle Ben told Spidey, with great power comes great responsibility. Verse 3 tells us that when the priest sins, it brings guilt on the entire people. How could the act of one man bring guilt on everybody? I'm glad you asked. In the Bible, you have an idea of one person representing a bunch of people. For example, Adam represented us in the garden when he sinned. We became sinners. Likewise, Romans 5 tells us Jesus represented us in the New Testament for righteousness, making us righteous. And here the priest is seen as a foreshadowing of Christ representing the people. Note that all throughout the chapter, when the priest is mentioned, he's referred to as the priest anointed with oil. That's because the high priest is a picture of Jesus himself, our great high priest, the Messiah, aka the Anointed One. Some of the differences between this sacrifice and the others become apparent here. But this is where this pollo starts to go just a little bit loco. In verse 6, we're told what the priest is to do with the blood. Verse 6 tells us the blood was then sprinkled in front of the veil. That's the first time we've seen that in the offerings. But the veil represents our separation from God. Blood being sprinkled on the veil or the curtain foreshadows that eventually our very sinfulness won't be an issue separating us from God. At the very instant that Jesus died, that veil was actually torn open. Verse 7 also tells us that the blood had to be put on the horns of the altar. The bronze metal of the altar had been crafted to come up to a point in the four corners, almost like teeth, symbolizing God's wrath or anger, the bite of his judgment. The blood, however, is applied on those points, or horns they're called, hiding God's anger from view because his wrath has been satisfied. Someone else has paid the price. You also notice that the priest sprinkles the blood 7 times, the number of completion of the Bible, showing that we are completely forgiven. Isn't it good to know that Jesus provided a sacrifice not just for what you've done, but what you are? Not just for the sins committed outside, but inside? Imagine that you're sitting at the table at a fancy restaurant, and the waiter brings a plate with the grime of some other meal on it. You tell the waiter, hey, this plate isn't clean. Instead of agreeing with you, he picks it up, shows you how clean it is on the outside, and says, no, it's clean. I cleaned it myself. Jesus told the Pharisees that they were like a man who washes the outside of a dish after someone's eaten on it and then calls it clean. It's not just about the externals. These offerings don't have to do with sin on the outside, but sin on the inside. And David cried out for this in the Old Testament when he said, surely you desire cleanness or truth in my inmost parts, in my soul. But the most amazing picture about the sin offering is that it actually was a case of the animal becoming your sin, being punished as if it were sin itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 compares Jesus to the sin offering when it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 12 continues this picture by saying, all the rest of the bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place. Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus was also crucified outside the camp, showing that he was the sin offering. Read Leviticus chapter 4 today, and as you do, try not to sin. Just kidding. Haven't you been paying attention? As you read it, be glad that God has declared you to be forgiven and cleansed you from the inside out.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing.